Yes. Good morning, everybody. This is Hans Ståhl, CEO at NCAB. We're going to present our Q1 result here. I'm here with Gunilla and Anders. I would like to start with page five, where we have a great result for the Q1, and where we see on the revenue, we have +19% measuring in Swedish krona, which we are extremely proud of. However, if we measure in US dollars, it's slightly lower. The really good number is the EBITDA, that is +21% compared with last year, same period. That what we think is a fantastic result. Going over to page six, we can see the different segments where the Nordic segment has grown 34%, which is also a fantastic result. Also they have a profit margin, EBITDA margin of 16.5%. Europe has slightly lower growth with 17%, but 17% is very good on that market, and EBITDA 6.6%. North America is +1% and 4% in EBITDA margin. East also, which is a fantastic result because East is China, Russia, +18% with a profit of 11.4%. On page seven, we can see the highlights during and after Q1, and we have started up in Malaysia with the team there, and there are three persons in place, and we have recruited an MD, Managing Director, for the Netherlands, and she will start in the end of June. We have acquired Multiprint, a Danish company very similar to NCAB. Also we have decided to have a dividend of 4.5 Swedish crowns per share. Also we have, as you all have heard probably, that the import tax is raised from 10%-25% in the U.S. On page eight, we will describe a little bit more about Multiprint in Denmark. They are actually doing the same type of business as we are, and they have been, or they are the leader in Denmark, and it adds about 60 million Swedish crowns to the annual revenue, and they show a good profit also. Maybe most important thing, they have a matching culture, very much focused on quality. Going further to page 10, where we describe what the circuit board is actually used for. At the left-hand of the page, you have the bare board, just circuit board, and in the middle, we have made the assembly. Customer is just making the assembly, and then we have the typical end products at the far right of the page. Page 11 describes the size of NCAB. We are today 17 companies delivering to 45 markets, and we have 388 specialists or employees. We are working with 22 factories, predominantly in China. Our mission is we love demanding customers. Of course, we all aim to have zero defects, and what's important is also produce sustainable, which is getting more and more important. Our vision is to be number one producer wherever we are. For example, we have started up in Italy, and our aim is to be the biggest B2B supplier in Italy. Going further to page 12, one could see that actually the cost of the printed circuit board in the end product is very low, and it is as low as 0.5%-2% of the end product. But normally, if something goes wrong with the end product, 50% of the cases is due to the printed circuit board or the assembly board. That means if you have a poor quality on the circuit board, that's a huge cost for the end product producer. That's why quality is so important. And why does NCAB exist? Then we need to go back to the year 2000 in this case, where there were a lot of factories in Europe, in the US, and also in Sweden, actually had like 20 PCB factories. But as it became more expensive to produce in Europe and the US, the production moved to Far East. And today, I mean, China is standing for half of the production of printed circuit boards in the world. And that left a lot of customers and still having their factories in the Western Hemisphere without any supply. So that's why NCAB was great, and that's why we have a very important part to play. And this is not, I mean, this is what's happening all over the world. A lot of production is going to China. And if you look at page 14, so we are not only a trader, we do add a lot of things to the customer that is important. And the part I would like to mention here is technical engineering support. We go through all the information we get from the customers and make sure they are producible. We have purchasing power, which is extremely important as the factory is consolidated in China. And you need this power to be able to buy from the best factories. And also quality audits. We make quality audits once a year at each factory, and we have our own staff in the factories. And also what's really beautiful is the unlimited capacity. I mean, if we get huge orders, no problem whatsoever to find capacity for those orders. Our journey, the company was founded back in 1993 in Sweden by three gentlemen that all have been producing circuit boards and have seen the agony in producing circuit boards. So that's how they kind of came up with this concept to use non-owned factories for the production and having the customer relationship instead. And with rather quick, they saw that Sweden is a bit too small to start export. And I think maybe the biggest step was taken in 2012 when we entered the American market by making two acquisitions, TD Circuits and Wave. And then we made an acquisition in Sweden. We started up also start up in Italy, Malaysia, and Benelux, and also made this multi-print acquisition this year. And one can see on the revenue, we have grown every year except 2009. Which is interesting because we still earn some money, and the year after 2010, took basically all production from factories and has gone bust during that period or during 2009. And then we have a case here, and this is an extremely interesting case. This Reval is a Chinese subcontractor, EMS company. And they have grown extremely quick. And one could think that we have problems in selling in China because that's where all the factories are. But it has the development in China has been more and more to the high mix, low volume. So the EMS companies in China, they are having problems to be attractive for the bigger factories. So therefore, they need us to be able to buy so many different types of part numbers. So we have had a fantastic growth with this Reval, and it's basically under the start of attacking all the kind of high mix, low volume EMS producers in China. And as you can see also on the diagram, they grow extremely quick, and this is very much typical China. So that's why we are setting up organizations in Shanghai, Beijing, Wuhan, to attract all these MS companies. We have competition, yes, but we are one of the biggest in the world. Fineline is a German company, CML also German. So I'll leave it to you, Anders.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good morning, everyone. Continue then on page 20. As Hans said, we are of course proud to present the solid growth for the first quarter. What makes it even more interesting is that we continue to grow our gross margin. I think that's very important that we continue to do good business and we continue to create good value add for the customers if they cost more money. On the next page, we see for the quarter, we had a growth of 90% measured in SEK, and measured in US dollar, we have about 5% in growth. And why we measure in US dollar is that most of our business is actually done in US dollar. We buy everything in US dollar, and we sell or invoice and most everything in US dollar. So that means that that's more organic growth. And that's also the reason why we can have a stable gross margin, so that will not fluctuate very much if the exchange rate goes up and down. Order intake during the quarter was 20% up and 5% net in US dollar. And we had a stronger order intake in all segments except for North America. We were between 20 and 30% plus in Europe, Nordic, and East. North America was a little bit lower than last year. But generally, we see a positive underlying market, and most of the customers also shows good the growth and your profitability. So we don't see any negative signs from our main customers. Next page. As I said, we managed to increase our gross margin, and we also managed to increase EBITDA by 21% compared to last year. We continue to employ people. We are 10 people more, or 10 employees more now than in the end of December. And we are about 30 employees more than 1 year ago. And employing people is important for our organic growth, of course. And just the EBITDA margin went up to 9.1%. Compared to 8.9 last year. We also made some IFRS 16 adjustments. They have very limited impact on our results. So EBITDA was increased by 0.2 million due to IFRS 16, and operating profit was 100,000 case lower. Going into the segment, starting with Nordic. We had a fantastic growth in the Nordic region, 34%. It's mainly growth in Norway and in Denmark, which has been very, very strong. And Denmark also added on with the Multiprint acquisition, of course. Taking away the Multiprint part, the growth was 27% for Nordic. Still very, very healthy. And the good part here is that we continue, despite the growth, we continue to deliver over 60% EBITDA margin, which is really good. Going back to Europe, we see a growth of 17%. We have much stronger growth focus in Europe, but I think we temporarily have a little bit lower growth number this quarter due to a very strong fourth quarter for Europe. So we had a lot of deliveries and invoices in end of December last year, which might have impacted a little bit on the growth number for Europe in first quarter. But we see still a positive trend, and we have still a stronger order intake than revenue for the quarter. Profitability is increasing in the money and revenue and EBITDA percent or EBITDA margin is also increasing a little bit. We are having a lower EBITDA margin in Europe due to that we invest in new markets, we invest in new employees to secure the future organic growth. And going then to North America, we have discussed this before, but we are in this transition period where we are changing from some customers with low tech and high volume and going into our core area, which is high mix, low volume. We see a little bit of the last customers going away now for the high volume business. And we haven't really seen the compensation from the high mix low customers, but we do have a lot of new customers and we see a lot of potential with those customers. So we see anyway a positive trend there, even if it's a bit lower than we had expected. Profitability, we are on a 1% level, better than last year, but still on a what we think too low level. Then, of course, we now have the raised tariff. We got information that last Friday, they increased the tariff from 10 to 25%. It's difficult to say what the impact will be, of course. But I think the good part now is that we had much more turbulence when they put in the 10% tariffs. Now we have a good routine to handle it. Our customers seem also to have a good routine to handle that. And they transfer all the new tariffs to their end customers. But of course, what will happen with the demand is the question mark for the future. But I think we have anyway a good routine to handle this now. And the customer cannot be that negative as they were in September when they imposed the tariffs the first time. And going into Eve, we still have a good growth. This quarter it was mainly growth in Russia. We saw also many positive signs in China. And as Hans said, we see that we can take on more and more local Chinese EMS customers. When we started up the operation in China, it was focusing mainly on European American customers. But we see now that almost all growth in China are for local domestic needs in China. And that was important with all the new sales office we have in China to be close to the customer. Also Malaysia is interesting. We haven't got the first order yet, but hopefully it will come soon. We are now three or four people working in making customer visits. And we still have a stable possibility in East. Some financial KPI for next page. We still have a strong return on equity, over 50%. Our net debt, adjusted EBITDA is 0.3. We still have a very healthy balance sheet, and we still have a good cash flow, and we do have available cash to continue with the acquisition plans when we find the right target. Also, solvency is very strong, 42%. Net working capital is even if it increased since December. It's still below 10% of last 12 months revenue, which is very good. And we don't have too much need of capital because we have a very lean balance sheet. Okay. So I get back to Hans.
So if we have page 29, we have described the future for us and basically built on four strategies. The first one is, of course, increased market share in Europe, USA, and East. We have a very small market share in those markets, so it's important. The strategy here is to get new accounts, new customers, and that we have shown. Also, we have a double-digit growth. The second one is, of course, the customers we have to ensure the profitability and growth on existing customers. That's also fantastic potential. And that could be seen that we're increasing the gross margin for the existing customers. And also, of course, expand geographically. The world is big, many countries, and we started up last year, and this year we have started up Malaysia and Netherlands. And also the market consists of a lot of smaller companies like SAP. And we see a potential in consolidate that market, which will happen sooner or later. And we will be the company who is driving that consolidation. And the first step is the Multiprint in Denmark acquisition. Financial targets, growth 8%, and the EBITDA 8%, and the net debt through the profit should be less than 2x. And the dividend expected to at least 50% of the net profit. That was our Q1 presentation. So, questions?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question for the speakers, then please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you enter a queue. After you're announced, please ask your question. Our first question comes on the line of Robert Redin from Carnegie. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah. Hi. A couple of questions, if I may. So on Europe, of course, you can say in terms of growth, it was a tough comparison. I think it was 28% or something last year in Q1. But still, it was sales growth was quite slow in the quarter. Do you expect a pickup? How did how did the order intake develop in Europe, specifically in the quarter, and what do you expect for the coming quarters there? That would be my first question.
I mean, yeah. The order income, it goes a little bit up and down, and we don't hear anything that it's saying, telling us that it's the order will go down. We only hear positive things from customers.
I think the important part is that we had order intake for first quarter for Europe was much stronger than the revenue. I think also, as you mentioned, we had a very strong growth fourth quarter for Europe in revenue, meaning that we had a lot of deliveries end of the quarter, which maybe normally could have been done in the beginning of the quarter this year. I think that is part of the effect as well.
Okay, but order intake in Europe was much stronger than sales in Europe in Q1.
It was stronger, yes.
Okay, so that sounds hopeful for the year. Generally speaking, on demand, did you see any sort of stronger demand at the start of the quarter or slower demand at the start of the quarter? Was January, February, March, generally speaking, the same?
No, it's about the same. We haven't seen so much difference. It's always a little better when the Easter, when the holiday appears, but it's no, we haven't seen anything weaker at all.
Because I'm thinking if Q4 was strong, then maybe January was weak, and there was a pickup through the quarter, but you didn't see any of that.
Maybe you could say that order intake in fourth quarter is normally not as strong because a lot of customers prepare for the Chinese New Year, meaning that they place orders maybe a little bit earlier to make sure to have the deliveries before the Chinese New Year. We typically have a lower revenue in fourth quarter and a higher order intake in fourth quarter and the opposite in the first quarter.
Okay, right. You also had a comment about gross margins in East and in Europe. They were up. Is that sort of a sustainable development or was there something peculiar in the quarter?
No. I mean, we're making good business.
And I think you can say also that now many countries in Europe have been in the group for a long time, and we're getting to have more and more mature business. Even if we take on new customers, and we maybe have a little bit lower margin, we also have a lot of customers that we have been working for a long time, and that we, in the same way, the same as we do in Nordic, slightly, step by step, try to increase the margin, which has also been happening. And we have seen an increased margin, especially in Germany and so on. So I think that is the trend forward.
Okay, very good. Just trend for higher margins there. So final question for you guys from me on M&A. So basically you did this Multiprint acquisition. It looks like it's contributed really nicely in the quarter. So I get the feeling you're happy with that acquisition. So that would be my first sort of part of that question, and the second would be what you think about the pipeline. How is that developing, and what are your hopes for doing one or a few acquisitions a year going forward?
Yeah, we hope to do many acquisitions. And of course, we have focused on it much more than we did during the IPO year, so to speak. So,
And I think we are very happy with the Multiprint acquisition. The culture works very well together, and we have seen the good synergies, and their team is working very good together. So we have formed a very strong team now in Denmark, which is positive. We do have a sort of a funnel of potential acquisition targets, but there are always long discussions and difficult to predict when it will happen and so on. But there are a number of potential targets in the pipeline.
Okay, cool. All my questions. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. And as there are no further questions from the phone lines, I will hand the word back to the speakers.
Okay, thank you very much. I just want to remind you that our next quarterly report is on the 30th of July. So welcome back then. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This now concludes.